Okay, hopefully that made sense to you all as well. So, transforming the caterpillar into a butterfly. Dying to self. It is a concept that is part of Christianity. How many of you have ever thought, God, you saved me. Why didn't you just finish the job right then? How many of you ever thought that? No? Maybe I'm the only one. I thought often I was going to ask God, God, when you brought Jesus into my life and you opened my eyes to the truth of Scripture, how come you didn't just fix my sinfulness all the way? But we go to the truth of Scripture and we find out that's a process called sanctification. It is God working in our life. Not only do I want you to be saved, he said, and so you can have this eternal destiny that can never be taken away. Actually, I thought, you know what, I want to do a bumper sticker. And a bumper sticker would say this, live the abundant life, less you, more Jesus. And that's kind of the little bumper sticker theology there, that I know I need to die to who I was in order for me to live the kind of abundant spiritual life that God intended. And so he made those things possible. He made that process available to us. And so we're going to look at it and say, what does that mean? What does it mean to die to self? Because some people would say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that I can no longer be me anymore? That I have to be some sort of spiritual robot, just all by God, and I'm just doing whatever God says, and I lose my personality, and I can't really be the guy that I am? Well, there's a lot of aspects about the guy that I am that I wish were gone. But God says, no, I made you, and I made you, you know, just the way you are, and I was part of that, and we recognize each one of us has different personalities, and we get different gifts, and we have different things that we're good at and some things that we're not good at. And God says, I'm putting you all together as a family of God and giving you these different personalities and spiritual gifts and talents, and in order to build the body up in Christ to a full maturity. And so we know we're supposed to be different. So it doesn't mean when I have to die to myself that I can't be me anymore. But what it does mean is I want you to die your old self, to be gone, so that I can replace you with the kind of person that I want you to be, which is the image of Jesus. Okay, so we see that, and it's, you know, sometimes it can be really frustrating because it seems like it's taken forever, and maybe we're making a little bit of progress and we're going back. And then we think we got something out of our life, and here it is, we're doing it again. And so I think if we look at this process of dying to self, we can see kind of what God has in mind, what it means, what it looks like, and then how do we do it? We're going to see that it is. I mean, that it's possible. Now, I'm going to tell you, transforming the caterpillar into a butterfly. And so this is an analogy. It's not a perfect analogy. It's not a perfect story because there's some things that don't match up. But God created everyone originally as a butterfly. Okay? When he created Adam and Eve, they were there. They were not sinful yet. They were unbroken. And so we'll say that is God's ideal, that they're butterflies. And then when they sinned, and then every human being after that, instead of being born with the red fluid in it, now we're caterpillars. But God says, I've got a plan for your life, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to put you into this spiritual cocoon, and over time, you're going to see that you're being transformed by me into something different, back into the original design that I had when I made you in the first place. Okay, so this transformation, and it's called sanctification, but part of it is I have to die to self. We're going to see what the Word of God says about that. Because it's an interesting process. You know, we see ourselves maybe coming out. Now, we don't live in a cocoon that other people can see, and that's kind of what makes it a little confusing. We look at other people and we say, I don't see any change in you. I don't see God working in you because he is inside. And we don't see it. Sometimes we see the results of the change on the outside. People accept Christ. And, you know, depending on what your story was and when you came to Christ and how it all worked, you can see some massive and amazing transformations in people's life right off the bat. How many of you have ever seen that? Somebody that was just really struggling and you know, maybe it was you. You know, and there was a massive amount of change, and God opened your eyes, and then all of a sudden, you're a completely different person now. You know, we had a guy here, Mike. Mike Schmidt, man, I don't know, Fran's downstairs with the kids. And Mike and I became really good friends. And I didn't know the old Mike, but then at his memorial service that I actually did, there were a lot of people out there that talked about the old Mike, because that's all the only Mike they really knew. And so here was Mike, and he was late in his life, but by the time he accepted Christ, and there were all these stories about the old Mike, and you know, I didn't know him. And you know, you could talk to Fran if you wanted to, but there was an amazing transformation right away in Mike's life, even as late in life as an adult, how God had changed him. He completely, his outlook on life was completely different, and he became a different person, a really good person, and he became one of my best friends. And I didn't get to see that transformation, but I heard it from others. And so we know that that happens. We know that sometimes those transformations are amazing and they happen all of a sudden. But most of the time, God's working away and working away. And we're working our way out of that cocoon a little bit at a time. And again, same thing with the kids, the good news and the bad news. The good news is you're going to be a butterfly. God is going to finish the job. And he's going to remove all of the caterpillar part of you completely, and you're going to be transformed into this beautiful thing that can now fly and do the kinds of things that God intended for his people when he made you. So that's the good news. The bad news is it's not going to happen now. But a lot of progress can be made in the process. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out, as Christians, here I am. Now I'm saved, and I understand that. And my eternal destiny is secure, and all these things, wonderful things are there. But I'm still sinning. How many of you have seen that? Oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay. 1 John 1:10 says, "He who says he has no sin makes God a liar." Okay, everybody needs to raise their hand. How many of you are still sinning? Okay, so there's still a problem. So let's take a look, because we don't like that problem. We have been given a conscience by God. We've been given his Holy Spirit that convicts us when we're sinning. And so we know that God doesn't want it, and we can feel it within ourselves when we're sinning. We're not lined up with God. And so we know that that's not where God wants us to be. And so it's a frustrating process at times, but it is a process, and God's involved, and we want to know, how and what does it mean? How does it work? What's it look like? And how do I do it? Okay. So one of the first things is to recognize what does it mean. The first thing we have to do is we have to realize who we are, even now that we are saved. Okay, we are still part caterpillar, right? How many of you understand that? Right? I just asked you, if I am still sinning, that's your caterpillar. Your caterpillar is still in there. How big is he? How much of you has God gotten rid of already? Okay, because we're going to get to some stuff later. And I had some pretty interesting conversations. But we're going to look at this. What does it mean, this process? So the Word of God says in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. "Now this I say and I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." So God is very clear. I want you to be different. Not only am I just going to save you, that's a great thing, right? And your salvation is not based on your performance afterwards. I saved you by grace through faith. Okay, but I do then want you to be changed for your own good and my glory. Okay, so I want you then no longer walk as the Gentiles do, as the other caterpillars, in the futility of their minds, for they are darkened in their understanding because they're alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Okay, so there's an old and there's a new, right? And so he's describing a little bit of the old, and he's saying, look, this is what you used to be. And God says, no longer walk in that path. I've got a different path for you, so let's look at that. "Assuming that you heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires." Now, where do you think those deceitful desires came from? They come from your old nature. They come from your sinful nature that's still in there. That part of you that's still the caterpillar is generating these sinful and corrupt desires. And you need to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So there it is. He's telling us, he's giving us this challenge, he's giving us this task for you. I want you to put off your old self, it says in verse 22, and put on your new self, as it says in verse 24. So that's what we're talking about when we are showing the kids here. You are, how do I take off my old self and put on my new self? Well, there isn't room for both in the cup. Okay, there isn't room for the caterpillar in the cocoon if it's always going to be the caterpillar. And when the butterfly starts to transform, then the caterpillar has to go away. And that's what God is saying. And you know, that's an amazing thing. How many of you ever thought about that? How many animals do you see, I know there's a number, but that actually come out and they look one way and then they transform into something that's absolutely, completely different? You know that there's a molecular change going on inside the cocoon? That God is transforming some muscular tissue into something different to create wings? It's just absolutely, utterly astounding. But it's not as astounding as the work that God's doing in your life. To get rid of the old you and create this new thing, which we're going to be looking at. Now this one almost seems like it's contradictory. Almost seems like, is he saying two things? Okay. So I had a conversation with somebody about the passage we're going to be looking at in Romans. And they quoted this to me. And they said, well, therefore, anyone in Christ is, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And they said, no, I'm completely new now. I can no longer sin. And I'm not sinning at all. Because I'm new. And see, all the old is gone. We're going to be looking at some other passages, the passages that I had actually quoted to her from Romans chapter 7. And so we'll look at that and see. What is it that God is saying? So, are you really different? Is the old you completely gone like it sounded like that verse was saying? I'm a new creation. Are you new? You know, you've been born again, right? If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been born again. And so, does that mean you're new? Yes. There's an aspect of you that's completely new. Okay? But does that mean that the old is completely gone yet? No. We're still dragging it around. We still have a little bit of caterpillar in the cocoon as we're being transformed. Okay, so here's what it says. And this is from Paul. And he's writing to a letter to Romans. But he's talking about himself. So let me read you the first part here. Yeah. So, for I know nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. Okay, I know nothing good dwells in me. Now this is Paul, the apostle, who wrote half of the New Testament or more. And he's been one of God's greatest missionaries. And he's building churches everywhere he goes. And he's saying, I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. Even Paul recognizes that there are aspects of himself that are still broken, that need to be fixed, that need to be healed by God. For I have the desire to do what's right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. How many of you can relate with that? Okay, absolutely. I mean, I want to be a good guy, God. I want to quit sinning. I want to quit doing all these things that I'm doing. I have the desire because it comes from your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is motivating me to be changed. But I can't carry it out. I don't have the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want. But the evil I do. But the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, there we go. We can all relate to that one. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. So are you seeing that he's making a distinction between the new self and the sinfulness of his flesh? Do you see that? And that he's saying that he has still both of those things in him? That he has the new self in the spirit, but he's still dragging around this sinful fleshliness that is creating these evil desires that are causing him to sin when he has the desire to do what's right. So, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Now, so is that sinful you like far away and I know every once in a while it pops up its ugly head and does stuff? Or is it, as Paul says, it's right there, close at hand. You know, so it seems like we're kind of hardwired, right, to respond in the flesh. And that is our natural response. And we see things where we're selfish people, and we want it to be our way, and we get these evil desires, and we get greedy, and we have these lustful thoughts, and all these things. And it seems like it's just churning up inside of us, and it's always right there. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, But I see in my members another law that is waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So clearly, even Paul, maybe the greatest apostle of all the apostles, still is struggling with his old self. And so there's got to be an answer. To God, you cannot. I mean, he actually does come up with an answer. It's going to be in Romans 8. How then, because he's not just, this is not a rhetorical question. Wretched man. Think about that. You feel like that sometimes? Man, in the wretchedness of my sin, who will deliver me from this body of death? I mean, it can be really, really frustrating. We try, it seems like a lot of times we try so hard to overcome the sin that we have. And we get, you know, we get something and it becomes kind of a pervasive thing in our lives, and a sin that we just seems to be a real tough one for us to get over. And we, God, I'm praying about it, and I want to get rid of it, and I want to be more like you. And it just keeps popping up again and again and again. You think, well, God, what am I doing wrong? What am I not doing right? I don't understand. And most of us, because we have our sinful self that's still there, our normal response is, I can do this, God. I can work my way out of the cocoon on my own. And if I just try hard, God, if I just had more resolve and more just passion to get better, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can get better, God. And, you know, I know you saved me, and this was me. This was me. God, you know, I know what you did to save me. I know the price that you paid for my salvation. And now it's kind of on me. Kind of on me, and I owe you all my life. I know that. I know what it costs. And God, I can be better. And try time after time in the power of my own strength to become more like Jesus. And it was utterly frustrating and led to nothing but failure. So there is a way. So we're talking about, what does it look like, or what does it mean to die to self? Well, this is what it's talking about. I understand inside me I still have some brokenness, and God wants me to take off the old and put on the new. That's what it means to die to self. So it doesn't mean that you can't be you, but it does mean that God wants to take parts of you away. And in order to do that, you have to decrease so he can increase. So what does it look like? What does it look like to be transformed? Taking off the old, killing the caterpillar, and putting on the new, becoming the butterfly. What does that look like? Well, here we're going to look at what the caterpillar looks like. So he's going to give us a list. This is Paul again in the letter to the Colossians, in chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. He's going to talk about what the caterpillar looks like. Put to death, therefore, and putting to death. So this is the dying to self, and he's going to give you a description of the old you caterpillar that needs to go away. Okay, therefore, what is earthly in you? No, that's, and this is not an exhaustive list by any means. But it does give us an idea. So put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And in these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them away, all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of its creator. So this is what it looks like. This is what the old you look like. Therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, and lying. Now, obviously, that's not an exhaustive list, but he's giving you an idea. This is what the caterpillar looks like. These are the kind of things that you need to have taken out of your life. You need to die to those things. And it's all part of your flesh that you're dragging around like the dead zombie corpse that's behind you. But it's in there and it's close by. And so therefore we need to get rid of it. And so it's saying then you have to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So that's what it looks like. How am I going to go from one of those caterpillars to a butterfly? And it means I got to get rid of all these things that are products of my fleshly brokenness. And they are very pervasive. And again, this is much longer than this, and there are other ones in different parts. In fact, almost all of his letters have some of this. You see it in Ephesians, which we're going to go over. In some of his other letters, and it gives you these practical lists of things. Okay, do this and don't do that. How many of you ever kind of gone through and looked at that? Okay, do this and don't do that. This is what I want you to do. Okay. That's what I used to do. And then I would just try my hardest, right? God, give me the ability to just quit doing the stuff I'm not supposed to do and do the stuff I am supposed to do. And you just keep working at it and working at it and working at it. In fact, I spent so much time. I think I've, you know, told you before. I came to Christ at an early age, about 12 years old. I had grown up in a church family. We went to church all the time. And so I never really had much of an idea of, okay, I thought this is just what everybody believed. I didn't have, there was no question in my mind that God was who he was and that Jesus was the only way to go. And so I didn't have this big transformational moment, you know, during my life that I'd gotten down into the pit and God came and rescued me out and I saw this great new truth. I just always had believed it. And so I spent most of my early Christian life up on this other stuff. Okay, now that I believe it, now that I'm a Christian, what about all these other things? And it seemed like just a whole bunch of rules, most of which I couldn't keep. And it just became more and more frustrating all the time. God, if I'm supposed to be like this and I know I'm saved, how in the world am I ever going to get there? And when you do it in your own strength, you're never going to get there. Okay, so that's what this is. That's what the sermon is about. That's what the point of this is. Is okay, I understand that there's a transformation that's happening. I understand I have the Holy Spirit. I understand that I'm saved and in the end I'm going to have an eternal destiny. Nobody can take it away and it's going to be wonderful. But right now, right here, God, today, how do I become more like you? And so I struggled with that. I'm telling you people, I struggled with that for so long. What is it that I'm supposed to let God do? And what is it that I'm supposed to do? And because I was who I was and I had a certain kind of an A-type personality, I pretty much just figured, I can do this. I got this, God, no problem. And after years and years of doing that and seeing myself gaining some progress a little bit and then going backwards, it just becomes so frustrating that pretty much now you just try to fake it and don't let anybody else see who you really are. So if you're there, give up on that. I can tell you from experience, it doesn't work. So how then do we accomplish? How is this? We can't accomplish it, but how is it accomplished? How do I die to self? Because that's what has to happen. It isn't about you fixing yourself. It is about you letting God fix you. But in order to do that, just like the little lesson here, some of you has to go away. You have to give it up. You have to sacrifice it. You have to say, God, I am willing to put this down on the altar of sacrifice and walk away from it so that you can fill me like the song said. As I decrease, you increase. So I struggled with all those years trying to figure out how do I get through this process in a way that makes sense, in a way that God had intended it to work. And so I read through this, and this was easy part for me to, but then going back to Romans chapter 5. Oh, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So there are three things there. Flesh, spirit, and your mind. All three of those are involved in this process. And when he says the Spirit, what he's talking about is in the flesh. When he's talked about the flesh, he's saying that's the part of you that's still living. That is the part of you, the physical aspect of you. It's kind of like the house. And when it says dwell, that I know, it says, for those according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. And so those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So we know that it's something to do with how we think. And how is how we think changed? And we have these two chambers in our own life. One of them is the spiritual self, where God in our soul, in our heart, has changed us. And he's put a new heart within us. And he's put his Holy Spirit within us. And he interdwells with us. And he's in there. But then I have this other chamber that's fleshly. And it's got all these sinful things in it. And how am I going to deal with that? So he's giving us the answer right here. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what he's telling me pretty much there is it's absolutely impossible in the flesh to make any progress. And so if you're trying to do it in the flesh, if you're trying to honor God, even though you're saved, even though you have the Holy Spirit, if you're trying to do it in the strength of the flesh, you have no hope of gaining progress. But then it goes on to say, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So he's telling you, you do not have to be in the flesh anymore. You don't have to live there. I have broken your chains. It says, you once were a slave to your old nature. I have cut those chains, and you're still dragging around the body, but no longer are you a slave to it. In fact, now I'm making you a slave of righteousness, also in the book of Romans. And so then I know I'm no longer, it's a choice. How do I make that choice? How do I know now that I don't have to obey the flesh? That those chains have been cut, but it's still there. It's still an option. And it's still hardwired into my brain to respond to things in the flesh. How then do I get away from that and live by the Spirit who's in me? What do you think? However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So basically, that's telling me that absolutely. And you know, people will say, well, do I have the Holy Spirit? Well, if you're a child of God, you do. That was one of the deals. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he came in. So you got him. Are you relying on him? That's the question. And this was his answer from Romans chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this life of despair? And the answer is this, life in the Spirit. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But if Christ is in you, although your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. How do we die to self? How do we get rid of the caterpillar? It is a decision and an act of your will to sacrifice yourself. Now, we can all quote it probably because I say it all the time. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Brothers, I exhort you in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies. And when it says bodies, it's the same flesh. When Paul is saying, in the flesh, I'm doing this, that's what it means when it says offer your body. It doesn't say, okay, here, put your thing, chop part of an arm off and give it to God. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, present your bodies. Present the fleshly part of you. Present the caterpillar to God. Okay? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of service. And then what does it say? No longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll know what God's will is, his good, great, and perfect will. And so I understand what's on, that there's two things that is telling me I need to do if I want to die to self. And one of them is I have to continue every day to put my sinfulness on the altar of sacrifice and say, God, not Tim, God, take it from me. And then it says, and then you got to redo the way you think. Because you've been programmed to think a certain way, a fleshly way, a sinful way, an earthly way, a manly way. And you need to reprogram that. And here's how you do it. You be transformed in your mind by the Word of God through His Holy Spirit's power. God, take your Word. Plant it down deep inside of me. Help me to think like you would think. Help me to see like you would see. Help me to feel like you would feel. Make me into you, and that is an act of your will. If you think just trying to not sin is the way, you're wrong. The way is, God, I can't do this. Take it from me. I'm willing to put it out there for you, as much as I maybe enjoy my sin at times. Take it from me and redo the way you think about life by lining yourself up with the biblical worldview. How am I supposed to see life? How am I supposed to see other people? How am I supposed to see my job? How am I supposed to see my wife? How am I supposed to react to things? It's all in God's Word, and you need to be reprogrammed by the renewing of your mind. And that is a constant process. And that's why it is so important to be spending time in the Word of God all the time so that He can redo the way you think. You are constantly being fed lies and new messages from the culture around you, and you have to counteract that with the truth of the Word of God, or you're going to be taken aside again. And so we have to spend time in the Word of God, not just as an exercise to check a box, but to say, God, I am in there with the act of my will to read so that you can change me from the inside out and kill the old me and put on the new me. Sacrifice your flesh and renew your mind. If you need a job, if you need to understand, okay, God, what do you want me to do now? It's those two things right there. It is to sacrifice yourself. Because God will willingly accept it. He said, I'd be happy to get rid of that part of you, Tim, but you got to give it to me. And you got to get out of the driver's seat and let me drive. And quit trying to reach over and grab the wheel. God will do the work. God will do the work in you if you get out of His way. It's hard for us. Hard for us to put ourselves on the altar. Because that sinfulness is very pervasive. That fleshliness, that brokenness in us is very pervasive. And so it is a continuum. One of the problems that I had, one of the problems in my life was, I didn't do it often enough. You think, okay, I have some resolve, and God, you've given me some real truth from your Word, and it's given me some inspiration. I'm going to quit doing this one thing or these things that I'm doing. And then I get passive about it. And it happens. So this is not something that you can just put off or say, I did it one time when I was saved. This is something that you got to start every day with. God, this is your day. This is your life. This is your body. These are your resources. I give them all to you, and I sacrifice the sinfulness of myself, and I put it on the altar and just take it away. You know, Ruby used to say, you know, fresh mercies every morning, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's true, because by golly, you're going to need them, because every time you put that sinfulness up there on the altar, you need some more mercy. But you need to also put it out there every day. And recognize that some days are not going to be as good as others, right? You know, it'd be great if this process was just very smooth and a transition, and you just kind of go up and up and I get a little bit better. And it's not going to be like that, I'm sorry to say. But never lose sight of the goal. God has the abundant life for you. In order for you to experience it right here on earth, you have to die. And thankfully, God is right there to take away the carcass. But you have to offer it. You know, that's the thing that I didn't understand, right? God, why don't you just come in and make me better? I mean, just take it. I don't understand. I don't understand why God is saying, well, I am going to do that, Tim. It's going to be either when you die or when I come back. I'm going to finish the job and it will be on me. But in the meantime, there's some things you got to do. And those are the two main things that I see from Scripture. I got to sacrifice myself. I got to die to self. And I got to renew my mind so that I can continue to grow. So those are the things. Hopefully, those are things you're already doing. hopefully you're seeing progress in your life. Now, again, it isn't a straight line, but hopefully you can look back and say, well, I'm not as bad as I was before. I'm not as good as I'd like to be, and I wasn't always on a straight line getting there, but at least you can see God working in your life, because if you got the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you, he's going to do some stuff. And sometimes, here's the bad news, or the good news, sometimes he has to whack you upside the head with a 2x4. And I look back and I think, man, the greatest spiritual growth I had was when God whacked me really hard. So recognize that that's going to be part of the process, because if you aren't cooperating, he is so set on making you what you need to be for your own good and his glory that he will bring trials into your life, and they are very, very effective. You can do it the easy way by cooperating. And maybe you don't need as many. All right. Well, hopefully this challenges you. Hopefully this, or maybe it just gives you, thank you, Lord, for the work you're already doing. But don't stop. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you. It is so wonderful to be a child of God, to think that you did everything you did just so I could be saved, but you didn't stop there. You also want me to be changed right here, right now, so I can live that abundant life that you have available for me, and it requires that I die. Lord, kill me. Take it all. I keep going back and digging up the old body and getting it again, but Lord, just keep working. Working in our lives, again, for our good and your glory. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, knowing that you are the changer of hearts and minds. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.